Looks like we're live. Good morning. I'm Susan Drummond. I'm the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today, for the record, is July 13th, 2017, approximately 9 a.m. We have two matters on the agenda. The first is the Manchester Yukon Harbor Sewer Extension. That's a shoreline substantial development permit proposal. The second matter is their Red Barn preliminary plat, and we'll hear that after the shoreline substantial development permit proposal. For those of you who have not been before me before on these types of permits, we will hear first from staff on the proposal, and then on both of these, we would hear anything further from the applicant, then we'll open it up for public testimony, and then the applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions that come up. And I might have questions during the process as well. So with that, why don't we hear from the planning department first on the shoreline substantial development permit matter. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name for the record?
Catherine Schaefer.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do. Well, like I just said, my name is Catherine Schaefer, and I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development, and I'm here today to present a shoreline substantial development for a proposed pump house and access road to serve the Manchester Yukon Harbor Sewer Extension. The Department of Ecology has granted Kitsap County $4.75 million in grants to extend the Manchester sewer system to serve the Yukon Harbor and Colchester area. Some of these properties are adjacent to the shoreline. And the Kitsap County Shoreline Master Program has jurisdiction within 200 feet of projects, within 200 feet of the shoreline. And while the conveyance piping improvements will actually happen outside of that 200-foot jurisdiction, the proposed pump house is planned to go on a county-owned shoreline parcel, and that is within the 200 feet of the shoreline, triggering the need for a shoreline substantial development permit. And I would like to enter exhibits 1 through 27 into the record.
Okay. I have those. It includes the staff report and the attached exhibits. And those
correct. Are... And then I'd like to add this PowerPoint presentation as exhibit 28.
Okay. Those are all admitted. Okay.
The subject parcel is located in South Kitsap County, which is Commissioner District Number 3, and it's off of Colchester Drive Southeast, a county-maintained road. And in the regional map, the subject property is highlighted in green, and Puget Sound is to the east. And because it doesn't have any structures on it yet, there's no address, but it's located between 861 and 907 Colchester Drive Southeast. And this is a zoomed-in picture, and you can tell the parcel is vacant, and it's surrounded by single-family dwellings. And this is the site map, and you can see that there is native vegetation surrounding the parcel, as well as a portion of an existing access road can also be seen. The subject parcel is zoned Manchester Village Low Residential, and it is surrounded by like zoning. Every shoreline parcel in Kitsap County has what's called a shoreline designation, and the brown layer right there represents that the shoreline designation is shoreline residential, and that requires an 85-foot buffer from ordinary high watermark. And the purpose of this designation is to accommodate residential development and pertinent structures that are consistent with the Shoreline Master Program and to provide public access and recreational uses. This is the critical area map, and the pink shaded area represents areas of moderate geologic hazard, which are slopes greater than 15%. The application does include a geotechnical engineering report to address slope stability. And the blue diagonal line towards the shoreline is a flood zone, but there is no work being proposed in the flood zone. And here is the site plan. Mm-hmm. The yellow line points to the 200-foot shoreline jurisdiction. And actually, let me get my pointer. And the proposed pump house is right here. And so you can see that the proposed pump house is located outside of the 200-foot jurisdiction. However, the access road and the limits of disturbance go into that shoreline jurisdiction. And then the blue arrow points to 90 feet from ordinary high water mark, and that's the limit of the disturbance. And as I mentioned earlier, the standard buffer for this shoreline designation is 85 feet from ordinary high water mark. So all the work that's being proposed is outside of that shoreline buffer.
It's just the access road that's within.
Correct. We did have some public comments regarding this structure. Structures in Manchester are strictly limited to 28 feet. However, this proposed pump house is only 14 feet, and it's under the requirement for the zone. And this is a picture from the pump station facing towards Puget Sound. And you can see that there's a lot of mature vegetation towards the shoreline that would serve as screening for the property. And this project was found to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, the Shoreline Master Program, as well as Kitsap County Code. And staff recommends approval of this project with 17 conditions. And the applicant, as well as DCD staff, are available for any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Schaefer. It is the applicant here to, did you wish to step forward to elaborate on the proposal or to add anything? Maybe if you could just step up so I can get it, otherwise we won't capture it on the record.
Yeah, my name is Barbara Zaroff.
Barbara Zaroff, yes. And you swear to tell the truth today.
Yes, I do. And I am the project manager. I'm with the Kitsap County Sewer Utility.
Oh, okay. All right. And you're comfortable with how staff described the proposal?
Yeah, we worked on the material together.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. At this time, we will open the proposal up for public comment. Is there anyone here who wishes to provide public comment on this proposal? Okay, let the record reflect that there was no one here who wishes to provide comment. Is there anything further from staff or the applicant? Okay. I have reviewed the materials and the criteria that the proposal must be consistent with. I do believe that the permit should be granted because I think it is consistent and the mitigation addresses the impacts associated with the proposal. So I will be approving this permit, and I'll have a decision out within 10 days, which I will email to the planning department, and then they'll provide it to the applicant. So I think that's all on that proposal. We'll now move to the Red Barn preliminary plat application. Looks like there are more people for this one. But the approach we'll take on this is roughly the same as what,
I just need to switch PowerPoint.
Oh, sorry. All right. We'll hear first, as I mentioned earlier, we'll hear first from the planning department on the proposal. Then the applicant can present on the proposal. Then we'll open it up for public comment. And then both staff and the applicant will have the opportunity to address any questions that may arise. And I may have questions during the process as well. So with that, we can hear from staff. Ms. Schaefer, are you presenting on this as well?
Yes, I am.
You can state your name again for the record.
Catherine Schaefer.
And you swear to tell the truth today.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Catherine Schaefer, and I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development, and I'm here today to present a preliminary plat using performance-based development standards. And the proposal is to subdivide two parcels totaling 7.27 acres into 65 lots containing single-family attached homes and three lots with existing single-family residents at the intersection of Northwest Hogan Lane and Nels Nelson Road Northwest. And I'd like to enter Exhibits 1 through 35 into the record. And then I have two more things to add.
Looks like, and 1 through 35 are the staff report and the exhibits, and I have reviewed those, so those are admitted. And you said you had two others?
Correct. I would like to add the PowerPoint presentation as exhibit number 36.
Okay.
And then staff would like to alter the condition number 38 in the staff report.
Okay.
And I would like to enter that as exhibit 37. And we would like the condition to read, all lots shall access from the interior roads only, except for lots 66, 67, and 68. And this note shall appear on the face of the final plat. And I have this printed out for you as well.
Okay. Exhibits 36 and 37 are admitted.
Okay, thank you.
You can proceed.
The subject parcel is located in Central Kitsap, which is Commissioner District Number 1. One of the two parcels that's being proposed to be subdivided is highlighted in green right here, as well as the southern portion of that parcel. So the bigger parcel is almost like an H shape, and then the parcel directly to the south is also included in the proposed subdivision. And you could see that rural properties can be seen on the eastern portion of the property. And then to the north, as well as to the south, there are more dense developments. And to the west, you can see a school right here. Right there. And this is the zoning map to give you a better idea of what zones are surrounding the subject property. The subject property is zoned urban high, which allows 10 to 18 dwelling units per acre. To the east is a rural residential zone, which allows one dwelling unit for 5 acres. And you can see in this zoning map right here that there's a line right here, and it's dark blue, and it's the urban growth area. And I can show it to you on this right here. And that's the urban growth area that separates the rural zone from the more urban.
That's the area in yellow on the map.
So the area in the yellow is urban low zone.
Okay.
And then that dark blue line is the urban growth area.
Okay.
So urban low allows 5 to 9 dwelling units per acre. And then that urban growth area separates the rural zone from the more dense, or the more dense urban zones. Here's the neighborhood aerial map, and it's just a little bit more zoomed in, so you can see this, how close the school is and the properties to the north as well as to the east. And as I mentioned earlier, there are 3 single-family residences that are existing on the subject property, and they will remain, and you can see those to the south. And the western portion of the property is wooded, and then to the east of the subject property, it's very flat. And you can see the Hidden Meadows development right to the northeast corner. And this is the critical area map. The pink lines represent contour lines. And the closer the contour lines are together, the steeper the slopes. So on that western portion of the property, there are some moderate geologic hazards, which are slopes greater than 15%. However, the application does include a geotechnical engineering report to address slope stability. And then that blue line represents a non-fish-bearing stream. However, the applicant did have a site investigation by a habitat biologist, and that was found to be a mapping error, and the stream does not exist. And that information is included in the record. And this is the site plan. You can see the 3 existing homes, single-family homes to remain, are in the south. And then the 65 lots for attached housing. And performance-based developments allow flexibility in site design. Applicants can alter lot size, width, depth, structure height, and setbacks in exchange for open space and recreational amenities. And this application proposes to alter the lot size, width, depth, and then the side yard setback. And the applicant is proposing 4 recreational amenities in exchange for those changes. We've got a children's play area, a trail, and then a gazebo that looks out into the stormwater pond, and a red barn, and that's where the applicant derived the name from. And this application meets requirements for Kitsap County Code 17450 for the performance-based development. Also included in this is a 25-foot buffer on the eastern part of the property right here. And that is to screen from the rural residential properties to the east. The application also proposes 34 off-street parking, which meets the requirements for Kitsap County Code 17490, off-street parking. And this plat also includes sidewalks on both sides within the interior of the plat for pedestrian access. And this is a rendering, and I believe the applicant has this as well to show you. But this is from the second submittal. And the red barn is up in the right corner. That's one of the recreational amenities that's being proposed. And you can see the single family attached residences as well as the existing single family residences to the south. And this project was found to be consistent with the Kitsap County Code and the comprehensive plan. And staff would like to recommend approval of this project with 56 conditions, with the number 38 being altered. And at this time, I know that the applicant would also like to come up. I'm not sure if you want to do that now. You do?
All right, unless you have...
No, that's all I'd like to say. So I'd like to introduce Levi Holmes, who is the applicant, and I believe he also has a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Yeah. Morning.
Your name for our, you want to get set up there first?
Sure. Okay.
All right. All right, your name for the record?
Levi Holmes.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes.
Thank you. Did you want to add your PowerPoint as an exhibit?
No, that's fine.
Okay, just for illustrative purposes?
Yes. Okay. So I've got a couple boards here I'd like to just maybe set up so the public can see them.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Okay. It looks like those are just enlarged versions of what was in the staff report. It looks familiar. Okay, all right. Can you all see those, or do you want, I wonder if you want to move those a little bit closer so they can.
Sure. All right, so I'm Levi. I'm with the applicant, represent the owner. And first, I'd like to give a little background about this project. Mm-hmm. When we originally acquired the property and started working on figuring out the lots and what we wanted to do with it, it was actually an urban low zoning, and this is before the latest GMA update. And subsequently, the county has upzoned it to the urban medium. That was not our request. We actually kind of figured that out in the middle of the project and had to start over. To meet the zoning requirements of the urban medium. So originally it would have been a little less dense. We did do the project to, I believe it's to the north, it's called Whispering Meadows. And we did that a number of years ago, and that was a urban low type of project. And so that's kind of where we started, and then we kind of morphed into what we're gonna show you now. So this is a attached housing product, and I'll show some examples of that in a later slide of what that looks like and some different ideas we have for the project. But all of the units will be attached in some way or another. One thing I like to describe is there's really a need in the market right now for something that's a little less expensive for a lot of the military families. The hospital's expanding. There's a lot of nurses and people that have pretty good paying jobs that are looking for a starter home or something that they can get that's new. And currently the median price in Silverdale is $344,000, which is out of reach of a lot of residents. And so kind of our vision with this project is having the attached housing that may be a little bit smaller and in a more reachable price point will allow for a lot of the residents to maybe be able to buy a home that they wouldn't have been able to that's new rather than having to buy an older home that might have problems. And it'll also allow people that are retiring to downsize and again, get into something that's a nice house, maybe a little less square footage and in a price point that fits their budget. So that's something we're really excited about to see on this project. We have, through this process, tried to reach out to the neighborhood. We have met with a number of neighbors that have had concerns. Anybody that sent something into the county, we've tried to reach out and give them a chance if they'd like to talk to us directly. But I know sometimes, you know, people just have questions and they don't necessarily need to talk to us, and that's fine, but we've tried to make ourselves available. We also sent out a letter to all of the houses within the 800-foot radius, separate from what the county did for notification. Again, just describing the project a little bit, giving our personal contact information, email, phone number, and asking people to please contact us if they have questions, concerns, just want to know more about the project. So we want to give people that opportunity to talk to us and discuss the project. So now I'll show you just some different samples of kind of what we have envisioning for this project. So these are just some different types of attached housing. I think a lot of times, you know, people may just think of maybe they're envisioning an apartment building type or more condos or whatnot, but these are just some different types that we could see on this project. You know, in some places in the flatter areas, you know, maybe the one in the top left or bottom left really makes sense because there's no grade changes, and maybe the one in the top right makes more sense as the property elevates a little bit so that they can stack. But, you know, we're still figuring it out. We're working with the builder to figure out exactly what we want to do. But I just wanted people to be able to see, and I've got a few more, just some examples of what attached housing looks like, because it's hard to really understand. Sometimes it's a duplex, sometimes it's a triplex or row housing. The one at the bottom right is actually one we've had designed in mind maybe for this project, and there'd actually be another one that attaches to it. But it kind of set up in a way where they look more like a single family residence, but they'd have small attachments through the rest of the project. And that's actually what these boards that I have made are based on that design for this, with potentially a garage in the front. But we're still figuring out market-wise if that's what people want. So as Catherine mentioned, we have several amenities, and I'm really excited about this because I think a lot of times amenities are kind of an afterthought on a project, and we've really tried to think about this up front. And so one of the things we do is, you can see we've got these walking trails, and some of them are hard to see, but we've got this big open space right in the middle, and then we've got these trail systems that go around the pond and allow people to have kind of an area that they can go for a walk.
You're talking about the pond in the middle.
The pond in the bottom right.
Okay.
Yep. And so there's actually a trail system that goes around that, and we'll connect to the sidewalks as well. And so we just want kind of an active area for people to go for walks that aren't necessarily just on the sidewalks, but something that's a little more appealing. We've got the children's play area, so you can drop your kids off, you can go look, you can sit on the park benches, you can...
Can you point out where the children's play area is?
Yeah, I don't have a... Oh, here's the pointer. Perfect. So you're on this one. So this is the children's area
right here.
And I'll show everybody else. It's right here. So right by the parking. A lot of people, if they bring their stroller down or whatnot, they can hop in the car and drive down and park right by it and use the play area. And then we've got kind of this big play field, which is right here. And show everybody right there. And we see this more as kind of a flex space. You know, maybe it's a place to set up and play frisbee or have a picnic, play soccer, you know, or whatnot. Just kind of a big area because a lot of these houses do have smaller yards. It'll help make up for it by having these big rec areas where people can go spread out and play croquet or do whatever. And then the other thing that's a little different is this pond at the bottom. this one here. So kind of our vision for this, and we've done this on another project over by Gamblewood in Kingston, where rather than taking a pond and making it, you know, as small as possible with really tall walls and a big fence and kind of tuck it out of sight where nobody sees it, we said, you know, let's take this and let's make it an amenity and let's make it really beautiful, and let's get rid of the walls and let's get rid of the fence and do, you know, real gradual slopes and make it something that's a little more attractive. And so we actually brought this into the project thinking about the landscaping and how we can make it more attractive. It also acts as a nice buffer, so as you're coming down Nels Nelson or down Hogan and you're looking at the project, you're not staring at a bunch of houses right on the front, but it's going to be a very nice landscape amenity, and I think that's going to turn out to be real attractive. And again, like we talked about, just the landscaping, we put a lot of thought into it, and this isn't the final landscape plan that you're looking at. There is one, I believe, with the preliminary plat, and obviously when we go through the site development process, that'll get firmed up as well. But we're really trying to incorporate just really nice landscaping and a nice attractive look to the project. And then the last thing is this Red Barn Pavilion, as also Catherine discussed. And so before I go to the next slide to show you that, currently there's a barn, and it's right here. You don't see it on the plan, and it's right here. And it's actually kind of a problem because it's actually in the county right away. And so if the county wanted to go widen the street, if this project wasn't done, they'd have to tear it down, and we'd have to figure out what that looks like. And so kind of our thought, and we'll have to figure out how realistic it is. We haven't talked with engineers or anything yet, but kind of the original thought was, hey, what if we move that barn into the public open space and we figure out how to make it a real amenity and really cool and kind of stick with that old building and dress it up and make it something that this community can use. And so that was kind of the original thought, and hopefully we'll be able to do that. If not, we'll build something else that looks very similar, but I'm hoping we can reuse this. So this is just kind of a conceptual where our architect took the barn and the structure and said, how could we open it up? And the idea was here was, you know, you'd have this fire pit, and it could be somewhere people could barbecue and have a picnic area, and then, you know, maybe some storage that they could have outdoor equipment or things that maybe the HOA purchases and the community can share. And so we're still trying to figure out exactly what that looks like. And I think, you know, part of it might be as we're getting closer to building houses, talking to, you know, the potential people that are going to live here and see what they really want. But this is kind of our vision for it. And that's where we came up with a name and kind of based it around. If you look at this plan that we have here, you can see a lot of the names of the streets that we're hoping to get kind of tie into that theme. And I think it's going to be a really exciting place for people to live. And then one other thing, I'll just go back to this really quick, that I wanted to describe. Catherine talked a little bit about how we have this setback here, and it's 25 feet of landscaping, and that's between the road and where the first lots start. But the other nice thing is you also have the road as well as kind of an additional, so to speak, setback or buffer. So at the end of the day, it's actually going to be a much larger space between the adjacent properties and where the first house gets built. So it's not just 25 feet from the next door neighbor, but there will be a little bit of extra because you have that road running through there, which is technically an easement across this property. So it'll be a really nice wide setback before you have that first house built, so you're not just staring right at the side of a house. All right, and that's all I have. I also wanted to just say that Norm Olson, who is our engineer for the project, is here and he's available if there's any questions on any of the technical aspects of this.
Okay. Did he want to speak right now or just wait and see if there's questions?
I think we can just see if there's questions that he can answer.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. I have three people who are signed up on the sign-up sheet here. And then, of course, if anybody else is here who hadn't signed up, they can testify as well. But for now, I'll just go in order. Anna Dobson. Good morning.
Good morning.
And your name for the record?
Anna Dobson.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. And I would like to say to Mr. Holmes, this is quite a beautiful endeavor. However, I wish it would be scaled back considerably. I live on the east side of this development. I have 2.5 acres. And I have a lot of concerns. A lot of them are ecological concerns, plus the idea of just the overall design of it is going to impact Whispering Meadows, which is to the north of that, and then all of my neighbors to the east of that. Right now, one of the concerns that I have is the stormwater drain off. There is a culvert that runs on the north side of my boundary that has become highly impacted by the Whispering Meadows development that should not have happened. They tied into my drainage culvert that goes right down toward Brownsville. However, now since Whispering Meadows has been built, the drainage runoff from that development and the rainwater that we have in our area runs right down through my backyard. I have a horrible amount of water that comes through there. At times it's 18 inches deep, and I have a real concern about that. There is a notice in the plan site that they're planning to hook into part of that drainage that runs down my property line. It's a great concern of mine.
Could you show me where the culvert is?
I'm 10278.
Okay.
So I'm directly across from that big pond they want to build.
Right.
So at the very northern border of my property, that drainage culvert runs right down going east towards Brownsville. Now, I contacted the county numerous times. I also contacted the builder of Whispering Meadows, and they were supposed to have come out to fix that. They had someone come out and dig a little 6-inch trench. It was just basically non-existent. And then he said, well, the water was trapped because of a tree that had fallen down there. That wasn't the case. My husband and I are in our 60s, and my husband has to get out there and dig that thing, and I go out there and help him make sure he's all right, not having a heart attack, go out there and dig that trench. And he went almost to the end of where 1 acre of our 2.5 acres is cleared. He got almost all the way to the end of that, making it about 2 feet wide and 18 inches deep. We had another rainstorm, and it still was not sufficient to capture all that water runoff. All the impervious surfaces that have happened from Whispering Meadows, and since all of us on our side, on the low-density side, we decided to pave our road, which is only 15 feet wide, all of that impervious surface allows all that water to run right downhill into my backyard. And my poor chickens end up floating, which is not fair to them, and it's not fair to me. And I have to walk to the back north 40 of that 1 acre that's cleared to try to help those chickens stay out of the water. So that's just a little sideline of that. The other thing that I have a concern about is waste management. Right now, all of us on the east side and Whispering Meadows, we all have to truck our trash cans down to the corner right there by Hogan Lane. So depending on what week it is, if it's recycle week or the regular week, we can have anywhere upwards of 40 to 60 trash cans. Now, I know waste management is going to require the same thing because there's no place for those waste management trucks to get through this development. It's just not big enough. We'll end up having all of those trash cans down on Hogan Lane and on my corner down there, and it's going to be extremely hard to get people to move them. Even this morning, my garbage pickup is on Tuesdays, and even this morning there were still 11 trash cans on Thursday morning that have not been picked up yet. Now, in addition to that, we have wildlife in our area that will be impacted. We have bear, cougar, raccoons, coyotes, eagles. We have all kinds of wildlife that will be impacted by this. Now, I've had bear rumbling on down my little 15-foot wide road and ended up in my backyard on my back deck. Where are those poor animals going to go? Where are the eagles going to go? They fly over my property down towards Barker Creek, which runs the back side of my property on the east boundary. So all this is going to be impacted. My desire is, even though this is 7.23 acres and it's high density, it doesn't mean that it should be a good idea to put in 68 homes in there. I would rather it see one per acre. That's more feasible, and it's not quite an impact to the rest of us that live in that area. My husband and I were there. We were the first ones out there 20 years ago. Aside from the three houses that are existing on this new design, those houses were there first. But on the east side of this property, my husband and I were the first ones there. And it's not the case anymore. All of these houses that have come in there, we desire to be in a rural area where there's wildlife and less noise. All that will be removed from us, and that's not fair to us. So I'm asking that this development not go through as designed, if it be reconstructed to maybe have one dwelling per acre. would be much better and a lower impact on the schools, which I work in the school system, and I know what it's like to have crowded classrooms. This is just like a crowded classroom. They're not going to have room to, I don't care if they've got a couple little parts or a couple little ponds there. That's not enough room for all these people. Plus, 68 homes are going to have probably at least two cars. That impact on Hogan Lane and on Nels Nelson is going to make quite an impact. There's only one way for ingress egress onto the highway. You have to turn right to get onto the highway, and to come in, you have to turn left, take the Central Valley Loop, and come back in if you're coming from Silverdale. That's going to be another 136 cars minimum added to already the congestion that we have. On Nels Nelson proper, there are not sidewalks. And I've witnessed myself two accidents coming down from Hogan Lane, turning that sharp corner, heading southbound onto Nels Nelson. It is a deadly corner, and they're not even talking about fixing that section of the road. I really have some grave concerns about this, and I would humbly, respectfully ask that this development not go through. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The next person I have is, you have to help me with pronunciation, Pat Fuhrer. Oh, okay. Okay. And then Susan Bernard. No comment. Okay. Is there anyone else here who wanted to provide testimony from the public? I'm sorry? You can certainly both go up, but if maybe speak one at a time. But if I could get your name for the record.
My name's James Miller.
James Miller, and you swear to tell the truth today.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
And my name's Holly Smelser.
And you also swear to tell the truth today?
I do, absolutely.
Catherine, could you put the overview of the of our law? That'd be great to make it a little bit easier, because I know
PowerPoint got clicked out, but we can, this is your lot right here, correct?
We're right past. Yeah, we're right across from the 13 home.
Okay.
Development. So if you have that one.
I can put my PowerPoint presentation back on, but it'll take a couple minutes for me to click something.
You can explain where we're at in the meantime.
Maybe I'll just. Oh, there we go. Is your parcel shown in this? If not, I can open it.
Yes.
Okay, you got it?
I think it's the 4009.
Yeah, those are parcel numbers instead of addresses.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah, we're 4009.
Okay, and if I need to upload the PowerPoint again, I can just take it.
Okay. Where's that laser thing?
Right here.
Oh, there it is. Okay, so basically, right here. Our property.
If you could speak in the microphone just to make sure we're picking everything up.
Okay, so like again, Holly Smelser and my property, our property is right here, and Anna and Paul Dobson's property is right there.
Anna, the Dobson property is. Point that again. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
4041. Right here, there's no homes. It's all just trees. And let me show it over here, too. This is our property. This is Anna and Paul Dobson's property. This is a 13 home.
I can't. Oh, I guess I might turn.
Yeah, I was just showing. I showed the same thing.
Oh, okay, got it.
This is 13 homes that were built across from our property. To give you a little history, I didn't know that. The homes were the ones that helped design the 13 homes. We had purchased the property, signed the papers in May 25th of 2011, or 2010, I'm sorry. a year to the day, we were never notified about any kind of a housing development. We just, like Anna said, that this was a nice place. It was private. We had trees right across from the 13 homes that are built now. We were told that it was all wetlands. There was a farmhouse that they're talking about, the red barn and everything. There was horses, pigs, goats. It was a very, very nice area. And the water runoff, we did this. This is our private road here. Mm-hmm. And it also feeds 12 other houses. There's actually 12 homes on the east side of
that use the private road,
right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, we come home 1 year to the day that we signed the paperwork on the house, and all the trees, all these trees here, were all clear cut. And one day, it was like a shock, and we were never notified about any of this until that day. And then we started to, you know, start asking questions. So then we found out, when going through the Kitsap County Development Center, what this all was all about. And then we finally got some kind of notification, but by then it was too late. And original design was 12 homes. Because it was zoned, I think, what, 5 to 10 homes per acre. They built, and this home right here, which is on right on the very corner there, was originally intended as a retention pond. And so I think Anna was talking about that drain that they added. They actually cut into our private road and added another corrugated pipe, bigger pipe, and it all drains down in between, mostly on their property, but it's between our two properties, and then runs back down to Barker Creek.
Can you point out where that culvert is on the, just so I know?
Pretty sure it's approximately right about there.
Okay.
Is that about right, Anna? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's right there. Yeah, because it's right between our two properties. And
I'll let you come back up.
But it's more on her side. You want to?
If you'd like, yeah. But just state your name again. You remain under oath, but just for the record, so we've
Anna Dobson. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say that when they did come in for Whispering Meadows and put in that new culvert to go in there, they didn't put in a new one. They replaced the one that was there and made it bigger. And I talked to the fella. His name was Ed Pukas. I talked to him, and I said, a bigger pipe means you're expecting more water. He says, no, what it will do will dispense the water. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not that naive. A bigger pipe means you're expecting more water to go through there. And it didn't even, it just barely went to the edge of the road. And it's a huge pipe. It's probably 24 inches across. It's huge. So they dug up our private road, like you said, and they put in that, they replaced the smaller pipe that was there with that bigger one. And that water that comes through there is terrible. Anyway, that was the clarification point I wanted to make.
Oh, thank you. If you can just state your name again, just to keep the record clear. You can tell
James
I'm an idiot,
Heller.
But yeah. Go
ahead. Holly Smelser. And yes, as far as what she's talking about, the water, I mean, just for an example, when it rains real hard over there, the water, you know, normally in a drain, you'll see it, you know, maybe it'll go a little bit above the top of the drain. It'll swell like probably a couple of feet high because it's coming so fast. And we've got the water runoff from also the ridgetop area, and then also from up at the top of our private road where the other roads are. So all of the water from that whole area already runs in between our property and there is no like pipe that goes along the whole, you know, in between our properties. So all that, the trees, bushes and everything in between our properties are eventually going to fall, you know, into each other and just make, you know, there's going to be nothing there. And then it goes down to Barker's Creek, which is a creek. I mean, it can't handle,
Our property is getting saturated. So now the trees, we have 2.5 acres that parallel that those 13 houses there. And our trees in the back of it from Barker's Creek coming up, they're falling. The smaller trees are just, and they're protected by big trees, so it can't even be the wind. We have a picture here of one of the trees, one of our cedar trees that we had. It's still there, but it's like at a, what would you say, probably a 45 degree angle now.
Did you want to add that to the record?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will give that exhibit number 38.
We have some, we also have some pictures that we put on our camera, but we should have, we didn't have time to make. Actually shows the this tree and where how it looks now, and some pictures of right coming out of our driveway, looking at the 13 homes, and what basically they left us. About the only thing we got out of it was a 6-foot fence that they didn't even extend all the way down. And so we like Anna and Holly and I, we have all these concerns about the wildlife, the garbage, the traffic. I think they estimated in their plans it would be like 680 trips in and out of that development alone. So, but if you're talking, they're calling it attached townhomes. I consider it multifamily, but they say, well, it has to be, I guess, 4 families living in a house and a unit to be considered multifamily. So they're calling these townhomes, attached townhomes, which means it's not 68 homes or families. It's going to be twice that, 139 or whatever you want to add, plus the 3 homes that are already existing. So that's a lot of traffic going in and out off of Hogan. And it looks like the way the design shows for that road going to headed east, there's 2 access roads, one's east and one's south. And it looks like the majority of the traffic would probably go east and hit Solstice, which is also a private road as far as I know. So I don't know how they're going to get a variance on the 13 homes that are there. And like I said, that one, originally it was 12 homes with a retention pond, and somehow they got some variance or approval and they built that 13th home right on top of a retention pond. if you look right up here, there's a big stormwater drainage area. It's all concrete and it drops probably, it's probably about 10 feet in diameter and probably about, 10 feet, 12 feet deep. And all that water that was built because of all the water that's coming off of where the school is at. And so it fills up there and then I don't know where it goes, but I'm sure it's probably dumping right through with that new culvert that they put right in between our 2 properties. Or actually, it's mostly on the Dobson. It is on the Dobson's property. So it's just crazy. Other than what Anna said about the wildlife, the garbage, the traffic, one thing is the noise, too. We dealt with this Whispering Willows project for about almost 2.5 years of noise constantly from about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 5 to 6 o'clock in the evening while they were doing the grading, building the homes. And right now, even with the fence, you still hear, noise from the families that are right there living in those places. So I don't know what else to say. Do you have anything, Holly? Anna, do you have anything else? Yeah, it's just, I am with Anna, you know, one house per acre would be great. I mean, we're one house on 2.5 acres, and that 13 homes that they built doesn't even, you know, those were even on smaller lots than what the existing homes on Ridgetopper are. So I just can't see that area supporting that many residences.
And then I'm Holly Smelser.
You could just state your name again. Yeah. That's just for the written.
I understand. Yeah. I'm Holly Smelser again. I also wanted to mention that when they built those other homes, they were supposed to be only 2 stories high. If you look down, and I've got pictures on my camera too, and I can't figure out how to show them. I you know. But they're actually 3 stories high because you've got the roof, and the roof, I guess, was not supposed to be counted as a 3rd story. But, I mean, they've got a window and everything up there. Jim actually went inside one of those when they were still being built, the rest of them, and it's an actual 3rd story, and they got away with that. And so, you know, so there's supposed to be height restrictions. I thought it was supposed to be, like, what did you say? Like 10 to 15 homes for 2.5 acres, though, right? Because they put 13 homes, and they almost, that's a 2.5 acre plot there. So if you're talking, and see how close those already are, and there is no ponds, there is no, you know, little parks or whatever. So that's 13 homes. That's 2.5 acres. You're talking 7.28 acres with 68 homes. I mean, if you do the math, that's like 3 times that would be about 45 homes, 40, you know, a little bit less. And that's just in you know, spacing them out like that. So if you've got 68, and then going in and out of the road, you have to go down Nels Nelson to check it out, because like she was saying, you come off the highway, you go down into Nels Nelson, there is no other way out or in. And then you have to, you know, because there's a barrier between the two highways, there's no way to get through, you know, in between going one way and the other. And so so now you're talking about, you know, 136 more vehicles added on to those houses plus the houses that were already existent. I just don't know how the roads are going to handle it. Plus, you've got the trailer park up the road a little ways more. You know, and I agree with the wildlife. We've got deer that come out in the backyard, rabbits. You know, more and more rabbits are being found dead on the road already. You know, and Barker's Creek is just going to, our whole house is going to end up washing in, you know, the land is so unstable now back there, it can't even handle the trees we have anymore. So this is a very unfair project. Again, the 13 were bad enough.
About all we have.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I don't have anyone else on the sign-up sheet, but is there anyone else here who wanted to provide testimony? Okay, not seeing anyone. I think what, oh, did I? Oh, right, from the public, yeah. Yeah, well, I'll, if there's no one else from the public who wanted to testify, I think what we'll do is we'll take a short recess, and if the applicant can come back up and address some of the concerns that were raised, drainage in particular was one that was emphasized. So if y'all could address that, I think that would be helpful. And then there was a question on the dealing with the refuse garbage. So if y'all could address that, that would help. But I think at this point we'll take five 10 minute recess, and then we'll go back on the record. Thank you.